Welcome to another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. So if you've ever thought about getting a new website, I'm confident that today's guest has visited you in a dream. So SEO and websites can sometimes seem boring on the surface, but today we're going to be talking about the psychology behind what works and how to improve your sales and conversion rates. The founder of Breaking B2B is Sam Dunning. Sam, how are you?
Doing well, thanks, Jack. Appreciate you having me on and looking forward to getting stuck in.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for coming. Obviously, we know you quite well, so I'm excited to explore this episode with you. So I guess to kick off things, who are you and what problem do you solve?
Yeah, great question. So my name's Sam, like you said, founder of Breaking B2B, podcast of the same name, B2B marketing show, but my business, basically there's three core problems we tend to fix. So we usually work with either B2B tech or B2B service companies, and they're either frustrated that when ideal clients search for what they do on Google, competitors are constantly above them, stealing traffic or opportunity to the site, or maybe they already invest in things like SEO, paid ads, run demand gen campaigns, run outbound, but all that traffic that's going to their website is failing to convert into a steady flow of demo requests or sales booking calls. Or they partner with an agency already, but just don't feel like they're getting the ROI, the results they imagined. So we tend to fix that with our unusual approach to kind of web design, content marketing, SEO, and podcast production.
Beautiful value proposition. It's like, here's my problems, this is what I solve, I'm the doctor. I like it straight out the bat. So let me ask you this. So say we were to sit down and we were to say, let's build a really bad website, a website that's bad at converting sales, bad at kind of gaining attraction, bad at grasping people's attention. What would that look like? Talk me through what it would look like if it was really bad.
It would look like 99.9% of websites that are already out there, especially in the B2B tech and SaaS space. So it would do the opposite of what you should do, right? So it'd be driven by ego. What perhaps the company founder or owner thinks, maybe the MD or maybe the marketing team or whoever's putting it together. So it would basically be like a terrible sales demo. So to put this in a kind of sales analogy, so the best salespeople, right, they take time to understand focus clients' juicy and expensive problems, impact of the problem, and kind of their desired state, where they are now, where they want to get to, understand the gap and hit that. Well, a terrible website does the opposite. It talks about how great you are, perhaps how many awards you've won, how long you've been in business, all these accreditations, maybe G2, maybe other thing awards that you've got. And it makes it really difficult for the visitor to grasp exactly the juicy problem you fix, how you're going to help them fix a job to be done, gain a certain result, and the benefit you're going to bring to them. So first and foremost, as soon as they land on that homepage, like one of the most important pieces of real estate on a website is that top hero, or you might know it as a top banner area. As soon as you land on the site, you've got a few seconds to earn someone's attention, so they can grasp exactly what you do, what's in it for them, and the kind of result you bring with a clear call to action to book a call, request a demo, whatever it is. But if you're spending that real estate talking about how great you are, and maybe even confusing them, like for example, a common issue with tech and SaaS sites is they'll use all this jargon that prospects never actually say, like, we're a 360 degree, all in one revenue platform, turn wizardry from AI into sales pipeline. And you've hit this headline on the homepage hero area, and you're like, what the heck do you guys actually do? And you're scrolling down the page, trying to make some sense of it, and you're still not quite sure. And by that time, you're probably so frustrated, you think, these guys are about as clear as mud. I'm going to head to a competitor that's just going to give me a better experience. So that's probably the prime thing. And then other things that make a terrible website are trying to capture data at all costs. So marketers, founders, etc., are guilty of trying to capture people's details at all costs, be that an email, an address, number, whatever else. So that might be you're gating everything behind an email wall, i.e. someone clicks through to your case studies, your results page, everything's behind the email wall. Maybe they then go to your pricing page, doesn't actually give any numbers of how much you've cost. It's just got a super long form. We'd love to share pricing with you, but book a call with sales first, put your name, email, dog's name, auntie's name, cousin's phone number, etc. And then even when you request a demo, you've got to fill in a super long form. And then instead of actually going through to a sales specialist who understands kind of your world, your problems, etc., you get routed through to an SDR that qualifies you even further before you get a demo call. Then you've got to go on a discovery call. So everything about it is painful. There's no transparency. It's difficult to get the information you need quickly. It erodes trust and just kind of encourages you to go to with a competitor. Those are some of the main kind of ways to mess up your site.
Okay. And then from like a branding point of view, Sam, so you've done some brilliant stuff when it comes to branding, and you were, we can say it on this podcast, you were the driving force behind a lot of the psychology and helping us with our website. So what makes a good brand, and what makes a crappy brand?
Branding, yeah, I'll be the first to say I'm not necessarily the branding expert. My forte is more kind of web design, SEO, that side of things. But in your case, like if we use you folks, we have a meeting as an example, we knew a bit already. So we'd seen yours and Zach's stuff on LinkedIn. And we knew that we said up front, like compared to many of the other guys in the outbound sales, the appointment setting industry, they're all very corporate, right? Like you've only got a Google like appointment setting agency, outsourced SDR companies. And the first three results are typically like super corporate, professional, blue and white, your standard corporate color websites. And you, when we spoke, you guys said, yeah, we're the opposite of that. And I said, yeah, I can tell from your LinkedIn content, like everything you put is out there. It's different. It's funny. So I suppose in your case, like if we use you as an example, we wanted it to match how you two as the directors of the company actually were. So not only did it kind of reflect the service that you provided, hit the company name, but also matched your personality, which is nice because it was almost like a pattern interrupt in itself, in the fact that most sales training websites are super corporate, standard colors, quite stuffy. Whereas you guys said, look, we want to be out there. We're going to have a different color scheme. We want it to match the content that we're putting out on LinkedIn. So we said, great, let's weave that in. We came up with, in your case, the superhero theme. I think it was a green and white kind of and black comic book style, a bit of slapstick, a bit different. As soon as someone lands on your homepage, you get straight into, are you struggling with one of these three problems? Like not speaking to decision makers, not booking enough meetings, and there's one other, isn't there? So it's in our case, like so I'm far from a branding expert. It's more getting under the skin of, like you would have probably remembered, like we understood who is it you want to attract, who's the ideal client, what do you want people to kind of think of when they think of your company, your brand, your website, what's the end result you're after, understanding the problems you fix, like I'm talking about, results you want to get out of it. So we could weave that all into not just the logo and the color scheme, but also the key points on your homepage. Your homepage perfectly sums up what we've discussed. As soon as someone lands on the We Have a Meeting site, it says, look, are you struggling with these three pain points? They can click through. They go on to a simple flow that enables them to answer a couple questions about their current state, like what are you struggling with? How quickly do you need to fix it? Do you need more meetings? Do you need to get more front of more people? What budget can you invest in this? When do you want to start? And then straight away, we're doing a bit of pre-qualifying and then get kind of decent lead opportunities into the pipeline through the website. So it's, I guess it's a couple of things: showing what you're about, standing out, portraying what your company values are, and then weaving that into the website. So it's kind of singing off the same hymn sheet, but also producing business results, I suppose, is a simplified way of putting it.
So it sounds like what you're saying is your website is your silent salesperson, and they should be doing some of the qualifying and a lot of the selling. So like what else can it be doing for you? If your website's pure function is just to sell for you, what should it be doing?
There's a lot of ways your website can help your business, right? So I think what gets neglected is that a lot of companies see websites as an expense. But when it's done right, and it can be an expense if you're not leveraging it properly, But when it's done right, like I say, this doesn't apply to brand new companies where super bootstrap. But if you're a growing business and you want your website to drive inbound, build trust, it can be useful in a number of assets. Like the number one pushback I hear is all of our business comes from word of mouth and referrals and network. So our website doesn't matter. And I'll say, okay, but if someone recommends you guys, where's probably the first asset that they're going to check? And I'll be like, oh, they might go on their phone and flick to our website. And I'll say, well, if someone goes to your website, it takes like 10 seconds to load. Like we talked about earlier, that the messaging is clear as mud. They don't understand what you do. They can't quickly check some results you've done for class clients. They can't check your price. And it's quite difficult for them to get in touch, i.e. they've got to fill out a 25 field inquiry form. Don't you think they're going to be a bit frustrated and you're perhaps missing out on kind of leads that were yours for the grabs, yours for the taking, but you've never actually known about them because they just got frustrated and bounced to a competitor? That's one sense. Then your website can also be useful for recruitment. So if you want to share that kind of this is a great place to work, these are the benefits you bring to the table and we're recruiting, like, sign up. Naturally, the number one thing is to drive inbound. So as you alluded to, your website can quite literally be a 24/7 salesperson, or it can do the opposite. It can be your worst sales rep. So just like a terrible kind of sales experience on a demo, if the salesperson is constantly talking about how great they are, all their accolades, how many awards they've won, all the benefits, all the features for 5 minutes, it's an ultimate turnoff. And you're probably going to be reluctant to use them because they don't understand your world, your problems, your goals, motivations, etc. And they're not tailoring the offer to that. So if your website's doing that, it's going to repel folks. And especially if you're investing in things like LinkedIn content, email, paid ads, SEO, whatever, and you're driving all this traffic to your site, if it's not working super hard to kind of share that value prop, if it's not building trust with social proof, if it's not being transparent on those FAQ sections like I talked about, transparent on pricing, transparent on your process, maybe sharing who you can and who you cannot serve, and then making it super easy for them to book a time with a sales expert. Mm. It's just adding friction that's not needed. And then you're basically losing out on business that you never thought was, that you never knew about was going to come your way because you're giving a poor experience.
Okay, so Sam, if I'm wanting to do SEO, I'm convinced, but I have no budget, I want to do it for free, I'm guessing I can't do that for free.
Where there's a will, there's a way. So most B2B service companies or tech companies, SaaS companies, they're super light on content. It's like 5 to 7 pages, which kind of prevents them from ranking because Google doesn't really see them as an authoritative site. So let's go back to you guys. We have a meeting. You might want to rank for terms like B2B sales training, B2B sales consultancy, maybe outsourced SDR company, B2B appointment setting company, etc. You'd know better than I would. But the biggest mistake with SEO is that companies do random things. So they think, ooh, this question in our niche, like, I don't know, how to get more meetings or how to ramp SDRs or whatever it is that's relevant to your niche. Like, we can build a blog article, get a ton of traffic, and that might get us some leads. Like, you'll quite often see on LinkedIn these SEOs posting these upward trend graphs of all this traffic they got from an article. And then in the comments, people are asking, like, how many leads did that generate, or how many appointments, or how much revenue did that generate? And there's just crickets because it didn't actually generate any quality leads or revenue. So what you want to do is a revenue focused approach to SEO. That means understanding what do people search for when they have high intent to have a sales conversation around your offer. So list, work out what that is. You can use keyword tools like SEMrush, Hrefs, etc. And you'll probably know a lot of these yourself. So in your case, if we went for a keyword like, let's say, B2B sales training, I know for a fact that companies like JB Sales, P Club, and others are ranked quite well. So what you'd want to do is make, once you've made that list of those target search terms, Google it, see what the top three organic results are. Look at what type of content is ranking so you can understand what's called the search intent. Is it an article page? Is it a listicle? Like, it might be the top 10 B2B sales training companies where they position themselves top, or is it a service page or an offer page? Once you understand the type of content, the type of page that's ranking, then you can assess those top three pages. So let's say we look at JB Sales, we look at P Club, we understand what kind of content there's is built out, and we're making notes on it. So they might have a service page for B2B sales training, and it's got like, this is the offer, This is the benefits. Here's some social proof, some testimonials. Here's a call to action. So we think, all right, we're going to blow this page out of the water. So let's go ahead and build our page. We have ameeting.com/B2B-sales-training. Then our H1, our heading tag, is going to be B2B sales training. Then we're going to talk about straight away, we know your world. This is the problem you're probably facing. This is the impact of not fixing it. This is on the basis that this is a service page as opposed to an article. Here's how we're going to attack that problem. Here's some proof of results. Here's a client video testimonial. Here's actually our process, so you can take away and steal it yourself. Maybe here's some research we've done on the B2B sales training industry and how we stand out. This is our point of view. Here is that nice FAQ section. So I'm going to address all these FAQs, like, can't we train our reps ourselves? How much do you guys cost? How long is implementation? How long does it take to see impact? Why should I trust you? All this kind of stuff that most companies would be too scared, like I say, to address. So we're literally blowing the existing pages out of the water. And then once we've done all that, then we'll upload that page onto our site. We'll make sure that it loads fast. We'll make sure that it's structured properly. We'll make sure that it follows that URL structure. And then we'll build it out. And basically, you do that for each one of the main keywords that you want to rank for that is relevant to those bottom of the funnel, high intent sales searches. So like in your case, B2B sales training, B2B sales consultancy, outsourced appointment setting, etc. We'll build out a dedicated page that is best in class, that is relevant to what someone's searching for, and that basically blows everything out of the water. That's a very simple way of doing it. There's a lot more nuances, but just by doing that, if you go niche enough, and another way you can do to go a bit more niche and rank a bit faster is to understand the industries you target, i.e. let's say B2B sales training for SaaS. So if you built out a page for that, that's very specific. It wouldn't be that hard to rank, because what you'll see is it won't get a lot of traffic. It'll be quite quick to actually get that page up there, but it will bring in qualified leads, because someone's not typing in B2B sales training for SaaS companies for fun. They're typing it because they have a problem. They want to address it. And if your content hits that intent, builds trust, it makes it easy for them to get in touch, then you can, that's how you can drive inbound through SEO. Very simplified version, but happy to dive in deeper if needed.